Now we have what we call a third manifestation of Jesus. Jesus manifested himself to the shepherds and the magi in Bethlehem. Revealed himself to them, and they came and believed in him. And then Jesus was revealed to us in the baptism at the Jordan. And now we have a third manifestation of Jesus at this time, and this is why it's on successive Sundays. It's the manifestation of his divinity. He is the Son of God. And he performs his first miracle and has showed his glory, and the disciples began to believe in him. In the first coming, when Jesus was revealed to the shepherds and magi, a star and came, and this gave them the faith to believe in the newborn babe to be the Son of God. Then the baptism of Jesus in the waters, Jesus purifies the waters of the Jordan. And this third manifestation, the marriage feast, Jesus turns water into wine, and this is the wine of his great love and the wine of the union that we will have with Jesus. In a way, it's sort of a foreshadowing of the Holy Eucharist, where Jesus will change the bread into his body and the wine into his blood. And this will be the source of our union, our communion with God, with Jesus, with Holy Communion. So this is a most important gospel. And it's a wonderful thing, too, because it's the gospel of the second luminous mystery that we've just been given. And we need to go over it, over it and over and over it. It's a wonderful gospel, filled with great mysteries, as all of the gospels are. You know, you can read them on so many different levels. You may not have seen the aspect of the union of God and the soul in when you saw this, but certainly there's a hint of it, because it's the marriage feast at Cana. Jesus goes to the marriage feast in a way with Mary, his mother. His mother Mary was there, and she's never there so often in the Gospels, as you know. She was there, and it's the blessing of the marriage of this couple, the marriage feast at Cana. And it's a foreshadowing of our own union with Jesus through the Holy Eucharist as his spouses on this earth. It begins here on earth. And it culminates in our union with God in heaven as his spouses. In heaven, we will be the spouse of Jesus Christ, the spouse of God. As you know, there's no closer relationship on earth than the union of a man and woman in this world. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh. Husband and wife are one. It's the closest relationship. So close that a man and a woman will leave their family and come together. And it's modeled on the union of the soul and Jesus Christ, as we'll see, and is also modeled on the Blessed Trinity, how the Father loves himself and begets the Son. And the Son and the Father love one another. That mutual love, the fruit of that love is the Holy Spirit. Just like the fruit of the love of a parent, of the husband and wife, for this reason, what reason? This reason. For the procreation of children, we will have this reason: a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And the fruit of their love is a child. And it's all seen in a way, in a very mystical and veiled way in today's readings. So God has called all of us to come to him. In the first two manifestations, we see at Bethlehem and also at the Jordan how he came to purify us, to give us faith and then to purify us. And now at Cana, he gives us the wine of divine love. The wine of divine love. At Cana, the mother of Jesus was present. And she, of course, in a way, instigates it. They have no wine. She understood. Now, indirectly, they have no wine. That's true. But she's also maybe talking about another thing, too. The world has no wine of charity. So she's asking her son to manifest himself and perform a miracle. And of course, this is the reason why Jesus came, to give us charity. The world was in darkness, and he's the light, and he will give us the light of charity. So the wine symbolizes charity and love. Dom Prosper Garanger, in his liturgical life, commentary on this gospel, tells us the Gentiles never tasted the wine of charity. Before Christ, the Gentiles of the world, all peoples, all nations, except Jews, never tasted the wine of charity. Never. They didn't know what charity was. Charity comes with Jesus Christ. And that's why this is a manifestation. This is the beginning of his public life, when he manifests himself with a great miracle. And he begins it at the marriage feast. And the wine symbolizes the wine of charity. Dom Garanger tells us that the Jews also didn't taste it. They had what we call sour grapes. Right? They didn't fully understand it. Only with Jesus Christ and his church, don't forget it, his church, his apostles, built upon the 12 apostles, go to all nations, teaching them all things I have told you. One of the things he taught them on the night before he died, he took bread and he took wine, blessed it and broke it. And then he said, do this in memory of me. And that's what we're doing today at this Mass. And this is a type, what we're seeing today, this is the type of the Eucharist, today's miracle, where Jesus changes water into wine. So Jesus is the true vine, he tells us in the Last Supper. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me beareth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We all have to be on the vine. And if we're not on the vine, like a branch that's not on the vine, we can bear no fruit. Don't forget that. If you're not united with Jesus Christ, you can bear no fruit. Jesus told us, without me, you can do nothing. So Jesus alone is the wine. Psalm 53 says, he alone could give that wine which gladden the hearts of man. The psalmist prophesies about the Messiah, that he alone can give us that wine that gladden the hearts of man. Also, we see in Psalm 22, the chalice which inebriateth. We all need to be inebriated with the wine of charity. And this is why when Our Lady says, do whatever he tells you, this is fulfillment, as it were. They have no wine. Jesus says, what is this to me or to you, woman? All right? My hour has not come. And Our Lady says, do whatever he tells you. He ushers in the hour of his work, the manifestation of his divinity. From now on, he will leave home, as it were, my hour. My hour has not yet come, but Our Lady pushes him to it, as it were. And he manifests himself, and the apostles believe in him. He gives his first miracle. Don't forget, for 30 years, Jesus has been on this earth. As far as we know, no miracles. No miracles. He didn't manifest himself, but now he is at this wedding feast. And it's very symbolic because it's the wedding feast which in a way typifies marriage, shows us the beauty of marriage, and also the wine of charity, right? So Jesus has assumed his our nature, as it were. And that represented by the water. St. Augustine tells us that the six stone water jars represent the six ages of man. All right? The seventh is now the seventh age, where Jesus will give us the wine of charity. Jesus assumed our human nature, represented by the water. And water is very unstable, just like our nature. But now when he changes it to wine, making it part of, as it were, his divinity, uniting us with him, with the wine of charity, then we also can become divine. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to make us divine, and that's what happens with sanctifying grace. When you receive sanctifying grace at baptism, you were made a child of God, and you shared in the divine nature, the nature of Jesus Christ. And that's what the wine represents. It's the wine of charity, the wine of love that Jesus wants to share with all of us. And he shows us how important this is because this is his first miracle. So it's a most important miracle. At Bethlehem, we saw the divinity of the child. On the Jordan, the Blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy the Father and Son and Holy Spirit, told us that this is the Son of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And now here at Cana, Jesus himself acts. He acts himself as he performs his first miracle so that all will believe him. So it's the good wine. It's the good wine of the charity that God has for us. And it, in a way, the fact that it's at Cana of Galilee, where the marriage place is taking place, it also is a sanctification of marriage, right? Marriage, holy marriage. Marriage is very holy. And as I mentioned before, it's based on the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is a family. But it's also based, in a way, on the divinity of the assumption of the human nature by the Word of God. The marriage feast, Don Marmion says that the meaning of the marriage feast, the parable, is that the king gave a marriage feast for his son. His son is Jesus Christ. And the marriage feast is Jesus wedding his church, taking upon himself human nature, right? Becoming a man. And in a way, the Word was made flesh. By assuming his human nature, the Lord, in a way, is married or has espoused human nature. And we know that all of us, when we're in his church and we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are incorporated into his mystical body. The mystical body of Jesus, which is the church. That's why St. Paul could say, husbands, love your wives and sacrifice yourself for them as Christ sacrificed himself for his church. So, if we take a look at that analogy, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church. Christ loves his church, his bride, and sacrificed himself for her. Husbands should love their wives, and that's the way they're going to get to heaven, by sacrificing themselves for their wives. And mutual sacrifice with the wife. Wives, be subservient, obedient to your husbands. Sacrifice for your husband. It's mutual sacrifice. It's not a one-way street where the wife is doing all the sacrificing. No, husbands begin the sacrifice, just like Christ sacrificed himself for his church, because the church is the spouse of Jesus Christ. We are all his spouses. We don't understand that now. We're not capable of understanding that now. But if we have close union with God, and God fills us with grace, And that's why we need to go to Holy Communion, Holy Communion, union with Jesus Christ. Every time we receive Holy Communion, we get an increase of sanctifying grace, depending upon how much we are disposed to receive the body and blood of Christ. So when you go to receive Holy Communion each Sunday, and that's why we recommend daily Holy Communion even, if you truly understood what Holy Communion was all about, you would go to daily Mass so you could be united with your spouse. Because, as you know, when we receive Holy Communion, we receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and he's in us. There's no other sacrament, St. Thomas Aquinas, that gives us greater grace than the Eucharist. Sins are purged away, virtues are increased, and every blessing comes to us through Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And that's what today's manifestation is all about. Jesus Christ manifests his divinity, and the changing of the wine into the water into the wine is analogous to the changing of the body and blood into Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to feed us with the wine of his charity, as it were, hit the Eucharist, the body and blood. And this is why, my dear friends, it is so important for us to be pure and holy, right? To be pure and holy and grow in grace, because then we grow in love for God. And that's why it's so sad in our world today, as we see what's happening in families and what's happening with children, as we approach the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade this week. A terrible abomination, a blot has fallen upon our country. Husbands and wives who should be coming together and having children. Men and women are coming together without marriage, many of them, some in marriage, having children and aborting them. It's an abomination beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension, my dear friends. And to the tune of 100 million a year. Can you imagine that? 100 million abortions a year. God, who is love and has given us marriage and given us the ability to procreate, and what are we doing? We're murdering our children and sanctioning it with laws from devils in legislative houses and executive offices. Devils, they're doing the work of the devil. The devil loves child sacrifice. He loves murder. He loves lies. And they lie to us and tell us it's a fetus, it's a thing, it's your body, it's so on and so forth. All lies. Marriage is very holy. And that's why husbands love your wives and sacrifice yourself. And wives, be subservient. Increase and multiply, the Lord tells us. And this is the precept from the scriptures. And what are we doing in our generation? This is why Our Lady came to Fatima. 100 years ago, abortion was hardly seen around. No abortions, except in a few here and there places by other devils who did it in quiet and secret. Weren't allowed to do it. Now it's legalized. This is why Our Lady said, men must stop offending God. He's too much offended by sin. And what, almost 100 years later, we're committing sins that are abomination before the Lord. And this is why, my dear friends, in this time, in this age, we have to pray the rosary, as Our Lady asked, in reparation. And as I said yesterday at the Day with Mary, Father John Harden says we should go to daily Mass to make reparation and use the Holy Mass as a reparation for the sins of the world, because we have committed great sins before the Lord. And we have to make reparation. Misericordes, O Lord.